Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When God's people take their eyes off the things of this world and place them on heaven and heavenly things, they will be a peculiar people, because they will see the mercy and goodness and compassion that God has shown to the children of men. His love will call forth a response from them, and their lives will show to those around them that the Spirit of God is controlling them, that they are setting their affection on things above, not on things of earth. In thinking of heaven, we may put our imagination to the utmost stretch and think the loftiest thought that we are capable of thinking, and our minds will grow weary in the effort to comprehend the breadth and depth and height of the subject. It is impossible for our minds to take in the great themes of eternity. It is impossible for us even to make an effort to understand these things without the effort affecting our whole character for good and having an uplifting influence on our minds. As we think of how Christ came to our world to die for fallen man, we understand something of great price that was paid for our redemption. And we realize that there is no true goodness or greatness apart from God. Only by the light shining from the cross of Calvary can we know to the depths of sin and degradation the human race has fallen through sin. Only by the length of the chain let down from heaven to draw us up can we know the depths to which we had sunk. And it is only by keeping the unseen realities in view that we can understand anything of the wonderful theme of redemption. We are almost home. We shall soon hear the voice of the Savior richer than any music saying, your warfare is accomplished. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Blessed benediction. I want to hear it from his immortal lips. I want to praise him. I want to honor him that sitteth on the throne. I want my voice to echo and re-echo through the courts of heaven. Will you be there? God help us and fill us with all fullness and power. And then we can taste of the joys of the worlds to come.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, you've given us an opportunity once again to speak to your people today, way of radio. Once again, we're most thankful and grateful, humble Heavenly Father, that you would like to use mortal men like us in order to present a message to your people in these last times of earth's history. Once again, we ask for divine guidance, a double apport of your Holy Spirit, healing power upon the lives of all those that are listening today and also each member of this team. At the end of the program, Father, we pray that all that we say will not return to your void, not one word, but people say to Scripture whether those things are true or not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. We want to welcome our regular listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. Again, we will continue our study on the judgment. Are you ready? That will be our discussion this evening, the judgment. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Now, once again, we're having a live calling show. Turning Point is having a live calling show from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the 31st of July, 2006. Our topic for that evening will be open mic. We will discuss any biblical topic that you want to discuss. Any questions you want answered, we will answer. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your church members that Turning Point will be on the air with a live calling show. Brother Paul, Brother Renrick, and Brother Miller will answer your questions. Any questions that you have, that we will answer using the Bible and the Bible only. If you happen to be away from the Bahamas and you still want to listen to Turning Point, you can listen to us at www.zsbahamas.com. Our website, as most of you might be aware, is www.tpministries.org. So if you have any questions or comments or questions that you might want us to answer on the 31st, call us, write us, email us, and we will have the answer for you that night. That's 2 hours, no commercials. Now, before we get into our discussion this afternoon on the judgment, we're going to ask Brother Paul to just give us a little update on what we have covered so far.
Thank you very much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Once again, we are excited to be talking to you once again today. We are still in the land of the living. And as we look around, we can see that there are signs on every side. And every day we wake up and we can breathe the bread of life, we should be thankful and we should be rejoicing. We have been studying with you now over the past few weeks the importance of studying the judgment. You know, we are living in the judgment hour, and a lot of people are not aware of it, that when Christ comes, the judgment will be over. As a matter of fact, a few months, long before he comes, the judgment will be over. Heaven's doors for repentance of sins will have come to an end. And these are some of the topics we'll be discussing with you for the next couple of days, or next couple of weeks, I should say. And like Brother Julian said, on July the 31st, we'll be with you 2 hours. That's a Monday night, sharing with you in the land of our listeners through way of radio, the importance of studying our Bibles in the time in which we live. If there was ever a time we need to study them, that time is definitely now.
Thank you, Brother Paul. And now we'll begin our questioning on the judgment. Brother Renmek, my first question is for you. Today, as we turn on the radio or the TV, we see war in the Middle East, nuclear threats by North Korea and Iran, high oil prices. Gas is almost $5 a gallon. Can you tell us? Union strikes at home. Can you tell us, Brother Renmek, is there any hope for the people today?
Yes, Brother Julian. The Bible tells us that there is tremendous hope for people today. Like Paul said, we are in the land of the living, and for that we need to praise the Lord, because we have another opportunity today to surrender our lives over to Him, to give it all to Him. And we also know that in the Bible that the Lord delays His coming, that none may be lost, that all would return to Him in repentance. And also from the scriptures we know that the Lord will do nothing unless He first sends notice to His prophets, so that the prophets can therefore warn His people. But the Bible, when we look at the book of Revelation, we see specifically the Lord gives us a specific message as to why there's hope for people today. And we'll read from Revelation chapter 7 and verse 1, and it says, And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. And we know from other texts in the Bible that these winds are winds of strife. And text goes on to say that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Verse 3 says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. And this is the key point, ladies and gentlemen. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And the question arises, sealed how? Or what is this seal that is going to be placed on the servants of our Lord? And we see from Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16 that, and it says, and I'll read in your hearing, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. The Bible tells us that this seal that will be placed on God's the servants of the Lord's foreheads, the winds of strife are being withheld until His servants are sealed. This seal is actually God's law.
Brother Paul, we heard Brother Renrick read from Revelation 7:3 that the sealing of God's people will take place. Can you explain to us and the listening audience this afternoon what the sealing process is, and how does the Bible talks about it taking place?
Well, Brother Renrick just shared with us in a nutshell how it's going to actually take place. That's from Revelation 7:1, 2, and 3. It's not an actual seal that one can see, but it's actually a seal of settling into the truth of God's word. And angels be going to and fro, sharing with you, sharing, doing the Lord's work, as a matter of fact, according to Ezekiel chapter 9, which we will share with you in a few moments. And this sealing process will soon be over. And that's why the text says, seal until. It's not going to be here forever. And the good news is, there are some countries that are still going to be standing during that time. Despite all the turmoil and all the talk in the media, America will be one of those countries that will be standing, because America will play a big role as time begins to dwindle on before Christ comes. Even the papacy system will be around. The Roman Empire, where the Pope lives, that'll be around. And also the Mount of Olives, for sure, will be around. Even the Bahamas might be off the map, because the Bible says some islands will disappear. But be assured, there are three prominent places that will be standing for sure. America will be one. The papacy system, where the Vatican State is, will be one. And also the Mount of Olives. And the reason why the Mount of Olives will be around, because the Bible says that when Christ comes, He will put His foot on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives become to a level plane. So it's actually going to be a settling into the truth. And it's going to be a comparison to those who receive the mark of the beast. Notice carefully, but the Renwick pointed out, those who are sealed, God's servant, are only going to be sealed in their foreheads. But those who receive the mark of the beast, according to Revelation 14, verse 6, verse 8 and 9, it says they're going to be received in their forehead and also in their right hand. So which seal do you want? Do you want the seal that will be sealed among God's disciples, which is the law and the testimony? Or do you want the next seal, which will be in your forehead and in your hand? And remember, these seals are not going to be visible to no mortal man. But one way how you know that God's people have their seals, the disciples that is, the Bible is quite clear, by their fruits you should know them.
Brother Henrik, but Paul mentioned Ezekiel 9. And we know that Ezekiel 9 is quite a long chapter. Is there anything that stands out to you from Ezekiel 9 that will assist us in understanding the judgment and the process?
Absolutely, Brother Julian. Like you said, Ezekiel 9 is a long chapter, and we encourage all of our listeners to prayerfully, you know, pray for the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and while you read and study Ezekiel 9 for yourselves. But there are two things that do stand out from Ezekiel 9, and the first of which is that judgment begins with the house of God. And I'll read from Ezekiel 9 and verse 6, and it says, and this is continuing from earlier verses, and it says, "Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark," or again, like from Revelation, "the seal, and begin at my sanctuary." Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Ezekiel 9 tells us that judgment will first begin at the house of the Lord. Not at the houses of the Lord, not at the sanctuaries, but at the house of the Lord. The Bible is clear that God has a church, a group that are following him. Not churches, not anyone that cries out upon the name Lord, Lord, but specifically, like Brother Paul said, those that are settling the truth, that are following the truth, come what may. And what jumps out from Ezekiel 9, secondly, is that judgment begins at God's house. And this is also confirmed in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. And it says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin." Where? Where will it begin? 1 Peter verse 4 verse 17 says that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? These are quite serious and very sobering words, ladies and gentlemen, that we should live our lives day to day, wholly consecrated to the Lord, and preparing day to day for his coming and his judgment.
Brother Paul, why does this judgment take place, and why is this judgment so serious, it seems?
It must take place, Brother Joy, because when Christ comes, all judgment must have already taken place. Because remember, the Bible says that when Christ comes, he's going to bring his reward with him to give to every man according to his work should be. So if you are lost, you're going to get your reward. And if you are saved, you're going to get your reward. So judgment must put an end. Why is it so serious? And why must it take place? Ezekiel 9:9 tells us, "And then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the cities are full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord see not." That's some serious stuff. And that's the same reality today. I mean, if you read the headlines just from last week, I mean, the newspaper were full of stuff, leading from the church allegations, to pastors' allegations, to turmoil in the government, unions. I mean, every week, the papers, I mean, any minister today that cannot find a sermon to preach, he deserves a beating. And I believe the Lord needs to beat him, because if he beat him, he'll be locked up by one of the police officers, you know. Because, I mean, the newspapers are filled with the headlines that predict that the Bible said it would be like. But sometimes people think God's foundation is not serious. But 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth for sure, having this seal, and the Lord know them that are his." The question is, do he know you and I? Because remember, the time will come when he said, "Depart me, I never knew you." So this is the time we need to do a spiritual reflection. We need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves the question, do he know us? And how will we be able to answer? Once our lives are lined up with the word of God, then we know. He knows us. Then the Bible continues, says, "And let every man that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity." You know, those of you who have been listening to us now for the past 4 years. As a matter of fact, we've been on there now 4 years. July 21st, 2002. We had our first program here at ZNS. And months later, we got into letting the importance of God's Holy Sabbath Day. And there are still today some of you are listening who know quite well, based on the historical facts, the biblical facts, that time is running out. And still, you still go and worship on Sunday thinking God will understand. But that's iniquity, ladies and gentlemen. And 2 Samuel said iniquity is worse than witchcraft. Some of you will be also told you the point to stop eating conch and crab and lobster and pig. But still today, you still eat those things. And you think, oh, God's going to understand. You know, he's long-suffering towards us. Yes, he is. But I assure you, if you continue in any sin, lying, hate, envy, lust, greed, or whatever the situation may be, we will be lost. Because Ezekiel 9:4 tells us, "And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, or through the midst of his church, and set a mark of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And that's what we've been crying for the past 4 years, ladies and gentlemen, the abominations that be done in this land, in the churches, and all through the courts of the Bahamas and around the world. And these abominations, I assure you, like Brother Rendrick read to you earlier, what will happen to them that obey not the gospel? Well, all of us know if you die obeying not the gospel, we all definitely will be lost at the end of time.
Brother Renmer, after all these things has taken place, what does the Bible say what happened next?
You know, Brother Julian, in any court case or any trial, there comes a point where the judge has weighed all of the evidence, and now it's time for the books to be closed and the sentencing or the judgment to be passed. And we have the same thing in this situation again. We have the exact same scenario taking place today. We told you in previous shows that the judgment, investigative judgment process began in 1844, and it's going on even today. But there's going to come a point when those books are no longer going to be open, when those books are going to be closed, and the Lord is going to stand up and say that it is finished. And we see this confirmed in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And I'll read in your hearing, and it says... Pardon me. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. When Michael stands up, ladies and gentlemen, that means that it is over. It is over in terms of the judgment, our judgment. When Michael stands up, there's going to be no more mediator in heaven. There's going to be no more pleading for the forgiveness of sin. Judgment will have been passed and our fates would have been sealed. And Daniel chapter 12 verse 1, it goes on to say, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even unto that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book.
Thank you very much, Brother Henry. Brother Paul, what is it that will keep God's people through this coming time of trouble?
What will keep them, Brother Jonas, what is written in Revelation chapter 7 verse 3, although Brother Randall just read it a few moments ago, it doesn't hurt to read it again to our listeners, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servant of God in our foreheads. It is a protection the Lord put around his people. You see, remember, no one can touch you unless they get permission from heaven. How many times you read the story about Job? But that story for Job is not only written for Job in his day, but it's also written for the people of God in our days. When Christ said those things that are written were written for our learning and our admonition. So today we need to read those scriptures and get comfort from reading those scriptures, realizing that nothing can happen to you unless Satan gets permission from heaven. The problem is, once Satan gets the permission, are we ready for the results that will come forward? Are we ready for everything we own to be wiped away? You know, there are a lot of people think that if you speak the truth, you'll be sued. The other day, me and Brother Joe was talking to a minister of the gospel, and he was saying that some of the things we say are so strong, it may cause us to get sued. And I told him, I said, I taught God alone, we are on these stuff that we have are loaned from us from God. And these are his stuff. And if he chooses to take these stuff away from us, then how can we grumble? As a matter of fact, the story of Job is such a powerful one. The Bible says, when all the trials and tribulation was over, Job sinned not. Isn't that good news? You know that God will put you through the washing machine, through the dryer, through the ring or whatever, and you still stand tall and don't sin like Christ did not sin? That's good news. But how many of us are willing to go to that same thing today? And Brother Rendrick read to you that Michael should stand up. Well, a lot of you might be saying that Michael does not refer to Jesus Christ. Well, if you read Jude verse 9, because there's only one chapter of Jude, verse 9 used to be Michael had a dispute over the devil over the body of Moses, his servant.
Brother Renner, what else does this time of trouble involve for a Christian person?
Well, Brother Julian, Matthew 24, the sermon that Jesus Christ himself gave, tells us that during this time of trouble there'll be wars, there'll be pestilence, there'll be false prophets that will arise and draw people away from the truth. But the book of Revelation also tells us that God's judgment will be poured out upon the earth. And I'll read a few verses from Revelation in your hearing. And Revelation chapter 16, verse 10 and 11. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Revelation chapter 16, verse 21. And there fall upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
Thank you very much, Brother Henrik. Brother Paul, we see repeated in Revelation 16 that men refuse to repent, even under the punishment of this plague, or as the plagues began to fall. Why did they not repent? And why did they blaspheme God?
The reason why they blasphemed God, Julian, Brother Julian, the reason why they did not repent is because the Holy Ghost had stopped working with these men. As a matter of fact, we just read you in Daniel 12:1 that when Micah stand up, heaven doors is going to be closed. And all those who are in the book of Revelation chapter 6 who did not repent, who blasphemed against God, those men could not repent because there was no Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, Acts chapter 5 verse 32 says, "And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him." You know, there are a lot of people today who say that they have the Holy Ghost, but they know they should not be keeping Sunday. We have the Holy Ghost, but they know they should not be eating pork. We have the Holy Ghost, but they're still dressing like prostitutes. We have the Holy Ghost, but we're still speaking in tongues when the Bible condemns you speaking in tongues if you don't have an interpreter. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is clear. Acts 5:32, only those who obey God have the Holy Ghost. I know you watch them on television every Sunday. They be running with a bunch of spiritual stuff, and it sounds good, and it looks good. But remember, looking good and sounding good does not answer that you are in the right accord with God. And you say, oh, they are blessed very well. Well, Jesus canceled that. Blessings don't qualify you being in harmony with God, because he says he rained his blessing on the just and the unjust. You read that in Matthew chapter 5. I think that is Matthew chapter 5, the last verse, that God rained his blessings on all. He's not prejudiced with his blessings. And John 9 tells us why. John 9 says the promise of the Holy Ghost is to convict the world of sin. That's John. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. But people use the Holy Ghost to say you must speak in tongues. And if you can't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, where's the scripture for it? I'm still waiting for some minister to call us with the scripture. They say those stuff, but it's not true. There's a minister that be on TV every other week. They advertise this program on television. He says the only way a woman can be a pastor if she have a covering. Well, where's the scripture for that? That's a lie, ladies and gentlemen. That's not biblical. No woman has the right to be a pastor. We shared that you on maybe our first or second year on the radio. Yes, she can teach and she can preach. But when you lay hands on her, they're set aside as a bishop or a so-called reverend, because there are no reverends on earth. All the reverends are in heaven. The only reverend that is on earth that you cannot see is the Holy Ghost. He is the only reverend. So all these right reverends and these very reverends are sinning against God. And they will find themselves in the hell fire if they don't repent quickly and swiftly. Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out. We quoted you over and over and repeatedly. Psalms 111, verse 9. And he sent redemption to his name, and holy and reverent is his God's name. And just how it is in Revelation 16 that these prophets of old and in the time before Christ came will not repent. There will come a time when ministers of the gospel will not be able to repent. God forbid it happen to any of the members of Turning Point, because remember, we too will be given account of God when he returns.
You know, Brother Paul, this is very sad and serious topics that you just touched on. And, you know, when we closely examine the situation, the Bible actually gives us reasons for why these things are taking place, for why ministers refuse to preach the whole truth, for why ministers go to the Bible, they turn to the scripture, they find something that they don't like, and they decide, okay, I don't like this, so I'm just going to rip it out of the Bible and ignore it from here on in. Well, what does 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 tells us? Apostle Paul preaching to young Timothy, and he says, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Why? Because, verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables." This is a very sad situation, ladies and gentlemen, but we can see all around us that this is what is taking place throughout our land today, throughout the world today. People are turning away from the truth and are turning to fables and false doctrines.
Brother Paul, we talked about the time of trouble or time of trouble that God's people will go through. But isn't it some people are saying that the children of God will not be here during the time of trouble, that they will be taken up? And only those who are wicked will be left to repent again to enter heaven. Is this true?
No, it is not, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, it says, the question was asked by those who were first persecuted by the papacy system. And John Paul II apologized for his church killing people during the period known as the Dark Ages, when we had no Bibles. Well, today we're in a time when everyone has a Bible. As a matter of fact, there are so much Bibles now, we have ministers selling their books, telling you don't read their Bible, don't read the Bible, read my book. Well, these books are going to cause you to be in hell. There's one popular minister that flies all around his so-called private jet. He has a book out, and one of the pages of the book that my aunt gave to me, that he gave to my aunt as a gift, it says that his grand aunt was in heaven praying for him. That's a lie. Now, if I name his name on this program, you know, you all get upset. But it just sounds so strange to me that we can call, if right now, if I'm arrested on Monday for molesting a little boy or a little girl, God forbid, I assure you, all the TV cameras and news papers will be there. And you're going to call my name, because you all know these little boys and little girls are not going to lie. But if I begin to start naming off some ministers who will lead us down the pit of hell, people will get upset. Why did you call their name? Well, why not call their name if they're giving out poison? Didn't we call David Koresh's name? They said he was preaching a false gospel. Didn't we call the man who did the Jones massacre? We call all these people names. So why can't we call these ministers' names who are leading people down the kingdom of hell? Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for you to pick up your Bible. Like Brother Randrick said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season.
Brother Paul, Brother Renwick, do we have any hope or any text that you give the persons who are listening for some type of hope that they might have, considering all the things that are happening today?
There's great hope in the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, Brother Julian. And one text that I would just quickly quote is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance." This is good news that the Lord is waiting. He's holding back those winds of strife. He's holding back the wars and the pestilence until men come to him in repentance.
Repent from what, Brother Henrik? A lot of people don't know that, but they have to repent. What are they repenting from? What are they repenting from, Brother Henrik?
They're repenting from the false doctrine. They're repenting from turning away from his law. They're repenting from rejecting the God-given diet. They're repenting from walking in Babylon. They're repenting from their sins and their iniquity.
But they say there's no more sin. They say we're now under grace. I mean, I'm confused. You know what I mean? You sure grace doesn't cancel the law?
Absolutely not.
You sure? I mean, but Julia, are you sure? I mean, you sure that grace doesn't cancel the law?
Sure.
Ladies, be assured, ladies, that grace does not cancel. As a matter of fact, Paul say, should we make void the law through sin? God forbid. We establish the law. Christians, that is. But we don't want to do that. That's why they've been giving you some hope. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack, ladies and gentlemen, concerning his promises. Mm-hmm. Like some men and women and preachers count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. That word come up again, repentance. And repentance is what? Repentance from sin. Ladies and gentlemen, we encourage you to join us on July 31st. That's two Monday nights from now. And the lines will be open. And you can call us early with your questions, or you can email us to them. And we maybe can start off the show with your questions, your comments, before we get the lines open. Study the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, because now the time has come for us to do it before it's a day too late.
Our email address is
tpministries.org.
tpministries.hotmail.com. tpministries@hotmail.com.
Thank you.
How do you get it? Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O Lord, for another opportunity for us to come before you this afternoon. Lord, we come before you asking forgiveness for our sins and our iniquities. Cleanse our heart, Lord. Cleanse our minds. Let us study about the things that are about to come. Let us study our scriptures. Let us study the Bible. Let us understand what you would have us to do as these times get worse and worse every day. Give us the power, O Lord, and the strength to stand within these times is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Or you can go to our website. Our website address once again is www.tpministries.org. And all of our website, all of our internet address are on the face page of that website. Once again, our telephone contact to reach us is 322-6273. Until next week, may God peace and blessings be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
This is Renrick Bo.
And this is Julie Miller. May God richly bless you.